Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of
talk of the town.
Time. Thank you guys and welcome to the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. I am your host, Nick Eden. I got my man Al here with me today. What's going on, Al?
What's going on, man? In the place to be.
Okay, all right. We also got Kevin in the back holding his coffee. I said I wasn't going to talk about his coffee no more. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. So he's just going to stay silent on me.
Boo.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Quit drinking Folgers. How's everybody out there doing this evening?
Hey, I'm excited for this show, man, because I hope a lot of independent artists call in, man, because they always trying to figure out how to get deals. Damn it.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about should they even be chasing deals.
We don't say
right that.
I mean, I don't know. You know, nowadays, it looks like it's better to be independent.
Oh, yeah, so. It is.
I don't know. We'll get into that in just a second. You know, I hope everybody had a good week. I had a pretty good week. I'm actually in lovely Daytona Beach, Florida right now.
My stomping grounds.
Your stomping grounds. The hell ground you done stomped out here, boy.
Man, that's where I grew up at.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Let me tell y'all something about Daytona. Now, you know what? Daytona, this is my first time coming to Daytona. I've been all over Florida. I passed a thing on drive-thru last night at Church's Chicken. And at first, I get this girl just roll up on me. Now, you know, somebody roll up on me while I'm in drive-thru. I'm automatically on defense mode.
Mm-hmm.
She come up to me talking about selling some damn cologne.
Trying to get it in, baby.
Trying to get it in at the Church's Chicken drive-thru.
Hey, was you over there by Volusia Mall?
I don't know where I was, man. I was wherever the GPS took me.
Mm-hmm.
All I know was, after I told her no, her boyfriend comes up to the window, not just to talk about colognes. He comes up there because the girl on the inside said she's going to hook him up with some drinks. So he comes up and he's in the window. I'm like, dude, can you move so I can get this lady my debit card? Really? And then he proceeds to want to have a conversation with me. Where are you from? I'm like, man, get your ass away from me, dude. Okay, so this is my first experience in Daytona. I thought Jacksonville was hood, boy. I think Daytona might have.
Yeah, you gotta think about it, man. You right over there by Bethune Cook, man. You know how I go down.
Man, you know what? I need to go stick out Bethune Cookman.
Do not at nighttime. That's all I can say.
It's been a minute since I've been around some black houses. You know, I got to go see some black houses. Go check in some of my frat brothers over there.
Don't do it at nighttime.
No. Hell no. I'll go anywhere but my hotel room at nighttime. Anyway, so this week was a pretty good week. You know, I feel good about it. You know, a lot of people try to take credit for this one particular artist who debuted at number one on the Billboard chart, but British soul singer Adele came in at number one on the Billboard chart, selling over 350,000 copies.
All right.
She also sold over 200,000 copies in the UK. So this is giving her $500,000 in her first week out. This is a soul singer. And a lot of people are like, oh, she's white, she's this, and she doesn't know. She is a soul singer making some real music, and I am happy because this is the first time in 2011 that we've had a soul music artist come in the top 10 on the Billboard chart. So I'm really happy about that. Big shout out to Adele. Big shout out to everybody over there at her camp. She's doing her thing. If you haven't heard the album, if you like good music, it doesn't matter what you think the artist should be. If you like good music, good soul music, good singing, y'all need to go check that album out. Everybody else in the top 10, I would. Gaga, Diva, all the cats that, you know, they nobody really think about them. We also have some interesting things going on online. Of course, we know about these Twitter wars that are going on. You know, we talked Sunday briefly about this Sierra versus Rihanna thing. But then to make matters worse, this past week, oh my goodness, I could, out of all people for Rihanna to have any kind of beef with, Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Man,
I don't know if
up,
y'all heard it sometime.
Yeah, she's going to end up missing, yo.
He called Rihanna swine.
Wow.
She will end up missing.
He said her music was sexually charged. He said that she was promoting from promiscuity. He just the whole, I mean, he really went in on her. He really went in on her. So it's just like, damn, I don't know. Rihanna's not having the best week ever. Not too many people are just that happy with her. Her video is still banned in several countries. So, hey.
Does she fit the Transformer mode from last week?
Yeah, she fit the Transformer mode. She's been transforming for a while. She's been transforming for a while. And speaking of Rihanna, Chris Brown. I don't know if he was just happy, if he was doing a celebration. You know, I love Chris Brown. I think he's a talented kid. I think he's got definitely already has a bright, you know, career status. I think he's got a real bright future ahead of him. But I didn't know it was going to get this bright. Because this week, Chris Brown colored his hair blonde.
Yeah, Chris needs to be elbowed in the neck for that, man.
Now, I don't know if he's been hanging around with Cisco. I don't know what was on his mind. I really don't know, but he's blonde now. He's a blonde.
Gangsta.
That don't even sound right to say he's a blonde. That don't even sound right.
Gangsta. Be gangsta,
man. I don't know. The stars have been, they've been going a little crazy today. I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear about it, but you know, with the whole thing going on in Libya with Gaddafi and everything, and the artists that he's had perform for him, the music industry is calling for him to donate their money back. He's had Beyonce perform and Mariah Carey and Nelly Furtado, a few other artists. And he's paid millions of dollars for these artists, and now because of his tactics and the way he's been acting towards his country, they want the artists to donate the money back. Now, Nelly Furtado has already donated her million back. And now they're putting the pressure on these other artists to donate it back. Beyonce, and this is what, you can say what you want to about Beyonce, but this is what I love about Beyonce. Beyonce basically told them, y'all can kiss my ass twice. And she took that million and she donated it to Haiti.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's the best thing possible to do in that situation. Because if you give her the money back, what is he going to do? Buy more guns? Terrorize the people more? You gave him $1 million more to terrorize people.
Right.
Probably on some guns that he bought from the U.S., but I'm not going to go there.
Nah, because them people listen, player.
Yeah. But, you know, if it were me, if I were going to, I would definitely do like Beyonce did. I would donate the money to someone who really needed it, not give it back. And I'm just sorry. Y'all, you know, they go to hell. We had people perform for Bush. Oh, they asked him to get that money back. I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? Uh-oh. Will Nick Eaton be on Talk of the Town next Thursday? We'll find out. don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know, guys. What do you think about that? Do you think they should give the money back?
I wouldn't give them nothing back.
Not at all. Not a damn thing.
Simple as that, man. I mean, if you want to get that money, man, I'm just saying, though. If they want to get that money up, man, you got to think about it. Look where all the money that they get already, where it come from. All kind of places. Dope boys pay for concerts. Drug dealers and hitmen and mafia, they all pay for concerts. So why not get money from that dude?
Because he's not American, that's why. That's why. If you want to get to the root of it, he's not American. Yeah, he's not American, and that's why they want him to give the money back. That's why they urge him to give the money back. You know, hey. I'm pretty sure Dick Cheney done had some people perform for him. He's one of the biggest terrorists we've ever had. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anybody who shoots a guy in the face and the guy says, oh, well, you know, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right. I shouldn't have been walking. I don't know how you accidentally shoot somebody in the face. Anyway, that's for another show. What we're talking about today is Deal or No Deal. Indy versus Major. Do you really want to sign that contract? What about the artists that are already under contract? Why are they making them sign these 360 deals now and they're already in contract? You know, for every new artist out there, do you really think that that's the route for you to go? Once you see so many artists that say, hey, it's better to go independent. Control your money, control your music, own it. Ownership is very important. So do you really want that deal or do you want to stay in? I don't know. We actually have a clip with Lupe Fiasco. Now, I think everybody knows about Lupe Fiasco, you know. One of the brightest stars in hip-hop, actually one of the only bright spots in hip-hop nowadays. You know, he's Grammy-nominated, toured the world 4 or 5 times over. And his label, Atlantic Records, wanted him to sign a 360 deal after he's already put out 2 albums. And that's a little crazy to me. I don't get that. I'll tell you what, guys. Check out this clip with Lupe Fiasco. He's on J45 Radio, Lip Service Radio with Angela Yee. Check out this clip of Lupe Fiasco talking about the whole Atlantic Records situation and the 360 deal. Let's go ahead. This is Middleman presented Talk of the Town with Nikki on Blog Talk Radio.
Let me do my music and leave me alone. All the extra, just leave me alone. And so, you know, I defend myself.
Because I try to look at it from both points of view. Like, I look at it from the side of the label. Look, mm-hmm. we want him to put out an album.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make our money because that's how we make our money. We
mm-hmm.
make money when you sell records.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, well, where did that all go wrong? Like, where is the communication breakdown? They wanted you to do things that you didn't want to do. I know you said they wanted you to do a 360 deal.
Yeah.
And you're like, no artist should ever have to do a 360 deal unless that's your thing and
no,
you
man.
Don't have
right.
the support or whatever. But you've been signed. You've had albums out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of support. You already can go on tour.
Well, they can't let me go. You know, I got up there for 3 more albums,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then they not dumb, so they recognize what I have. Because I was like, y'all going to put this album out? They're like, no. And it's like, well, I'm finna go on a world tour, and I'll be back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And came back and was like, yo, y'all going to put this album out? And it was like, no. Then it's like, okay, I'm finna go on this nationwide tour, and I'm bringing B.O.B. with me, you know. And then I'm going to come back. Are we still going? No, we're not putting it out. All right, well, I'm finna go to Asia.
But why no?
You know? Because it was kind of like, I don't want to put everybody's business in the street, but if we're going to make money, let's make money fair, you know, and let's not be devious in our tactics, you know, and I don't want to be nasty,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to business, but you have to respect us, you know, we're a business too, you know, you got to respect us the same way that we respect you, you know, don't try and leverage different things against me, you know, like my recording deal has nothing to do with my merchandise.
Okay, so that's a 360 deal.
You know, like, don't leverage that against me and tell me that, well, we may or may not push a record if you don't sign this deal.
Wow. We may or may not push this record if you don't sign this deal. Weigh in on that for me, Al. I'm a little suspicious right now. Talk to the people for me real quick.
I like how Lupe played him. Okay, he'll fight well. Y'all like to reach my elbow. He went and got it both ways. Nationwide pool out of the country. And on Nationwide pool, he bought B.O.B. but that was even home run. And so, I mean, he got his money, but that's still messed up after, you know, he spent those wars and all that. And they know him. But they play, you know, I mean, they play trump card with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, if you don't do this, you know, if you don't sign this deal, basically, I'm going to put the wolf. So, that's crazy, man.
I mean, this is my thing about it. I think it was a win-win situation for Lupe and for Atlantic, more for Atlantic, because when he took B.O.B. out on that Nationwide tour, for those who didn't know, B.O.B. is also signed to Atlantic Records.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, he took him out on the tour, which was a good, you know, it was a good gesture for him, but Atlantic was probably like, okay, well, we'll just use this to break a new artist, which worked for him. You know, I think in Lupe's situation, it actually got to the point where he had people outside of Atlantic Records. I think they had about 2,800 people outside of Atlantic Records petitioning for them to release Lupe Fiasco's album.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and my thing is, does it have to get to that point? You know, when you have an artist like that, I can almost understand a new artist. With a new artist, you have that we don't know if they're really going to sell, we don't know how they're going to perform in the marketplace.
All
right. This is Lupe Fiasco.
Right. He don't say it's 30,000. You know? At least. Well, really, 50,000 at least. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to get you a little bit.
Well, you know, I don't know what happens from there, but they are getting ready to release the album now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he did or if he didn't sign the deal.
I don't
know. He didn't really sell.
I don't think he did. I don't think he signed. I just think like he pressured them so much that they had to release him, which is what he needs to do anyway.
Yeah, we got a caller that's want to get in the conversation, yo.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring him in. Call you now with the middleman and talk to Nick Eaton.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
You're live.
Caller, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just listening to the conversation. Really good conversation. I think one of the things you got to keep in mind when you're dealing with these record companies is this is nothing new. 360 deals are nothing new. If you go back and look at Cadillac Records, essentially what they had at Cadillac Records were 360 deals. They just weren't on paper. Remember when Muddy Waters was trying to get some money, and he was saying, remember, all the time you on the road, da-da-da. And these deals that you're seeing happen, these 360 deals, are unconscionable deals, but you have to look at the record company's mindset. They don't care. They're trying to make up for lost money. They didn't think ahead of time. They saw the internet coming and really kind of played it to the left because they were making so much money selling CDs. So they didn't think about anything else, and this really is like a last-ditch effort to shore up their profit margin. But don't get it twisted. They're still making money.
Oh, yeah.
These record companies are still making
money.
I
totally agree.
You know, these record companies are still making money because you got to understand, if they're recouping everything that they spent on the artist out of the artist end of the deal, which is the smallest slither of the profit margin, imagine what they're making on their end.
Exactly.
Imagine that.
I think it's one thing, and Charlie, you can probably weigh on this better than anyone. This is the one thing that I'm trying to get across to a lot of these artists that come up and they ask questions like, you know, how do I get signed? I never understood that the question of how do I get signed as opposed to how do I release my music and learn how to own my own masters. But if they would do that to someone like Lupe Fiasco, Grammy-nominated artist, you know, he's put out albums, he's had hit singles, what do they really think that they would do to these new artists that don't really have that much traction, if any at all?
They'll rape them in a heartbeat. I mean, it really, and to be honest with you, they probably would prefer a new artist over a Lupe Fiasco. Because you got to think about it. Ever ask yourself, why aren't there any, the lifespan of an urban artist nowadays, on average, rarely lasts over, what, 3 to 5 years? You ever ask yourself why? It's not that the artist isn't making any better music, but it's that the more the artist stays in the music business, the more he or she understands what's going on and the more he or she begins to demand from their record company in terms of their contract. And so it's probably in the record company's best interest to keep bringing in new blood, because I can bring in the new blood. It's going to sign whatever deal I put in front of them, and then I can leverage his success against an older artist's success and say, hey, look, you need to take this, because if you don't, well, we don't really need you. We got MC So-and-so or Soldier John or whoever else we bring in that's selling records. So in many ways, it's a buffer. It's a way the more experienced artist can check, and particularly if that artist hasn't made savvy business moves in terms of investing what little money he or she has made, in terms of branching out, in terms of, and the record companies are understanding this. Do you think that for one second they didn't take note of that Rockefeller was making millions of dollars off of a clothing line, off of a logo that the record company feels that they helped established, even though Rockefeller was an independent label, had sold a gold record independently before they even hooked up with a name?
This is true. I cannot disagree. And you see, they systematically pushed Damon Dash out of the picture.
And my theory on that is, and I know, I mean, I wasn't privy to the inside, but my theory on that is, even in these 360 deals, managers have to watch themselves, because if you're a little too sharp as a manager, you wind up getting squeezed out the deal. Because think about it, the record company is now getting, have their hands in every aspect of revenue for the company. And many times they'll say, well, if we're doing the tour, we want our road manager on the road.
Right.
You know, and while your road manager's on the road, the record company's sending your real manager on wild goose chases, and the next thing you know, bam, you're closed out the deal. Happens all the time in the music industry without the 360, but I can definitely see them happening with the 360. So if you're a manager with an artist with a 360, really stay on your toes and make sure that you and your artists are seeing eye to eye, and that you
right.
Watching these records up.
Hey, Charlie, this is Kevin. What do you think about what do you think about, like, the situation? And Nick, I just want to ask a question also. What do you think about, like, the situation where artists are somewhat beginning to realize that they can have more power, more control in music now if they do stay a pen, as opposed to being behind a 360 deal or going to a label? What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I think record companies are going to have to understand that the day of doing business the way they used to do, which is really the 360 deal, is are really sort of draconian deals. Those deals are not going to last very long, because artists are becoming more and more aware of what's going on, how the music industry works. How, I mean, you think about it, with the advent of the internet, I can market myself internationally, and I can sell direct to my fans nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. What do I need a record company for?
Exactly. But you got to think about it. A lot of guys invest so much money and time into chasing that record deal. They think that is the way that will save them. I mean, Charlie, could you just please give them the truth about getting a deal?
I mean, here's what the record companies are preying on. They're preying on two things. They're preying on the inexperienced and youth of most of these new artists that are coming in the game. And they're also preying on their ego, because the majority of the artists that want to get in this game so bad, they don't, they're not really, they're thinking about the money, but also they're also thinking about being famous. And that's the,
yeah, that's true.
That's the promise that the record company holds out to them, that I can get you on BET, I can get you on MTV, I can get you on national radio, I can get you on major tours, I can get you in magazines and on magazine covers and da-da-da. If you're an independent, that doesn't happen right away.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You have to work your way through that, and that's a long, hard, and protracted struggle. And only those artists that really, 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 really have strong self-esteem, who really believe in themselves, and who really, really understand that this is not going to happen overnight, and they're committed to it for the long haul, are able to make and stay in that independent grind.
True that. I think a lot of people are ignorant to that fact. What do you think about that, Nick?
I think they're definitely ignorant to that fact. I think that a lot of times, though, they do see that making it is being on 106 and Park or TRL, but they don't see the artists like Tech N9ne, who's been doing his thing on the underground hip hop for the longest, have a strong following and makes his living doing what he loves. They don't see the artists like Eric Roberson, who have been independent and gotten out there. Eric Roberson sold over 100,000 records independently, been nominated for a Grammy, was the first BET, the first totally independent artist to be nominated for a BET award. They don't see that, and since they don't see that, they don't think that it's real. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the major artists who have now gone independent. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to lead off with one of them who we all know, Dave Hollister. This song is actually on his fourth album called Real Talk. This was the last R&B album that he did before he went into gospel and subsequently became an independent artist. And this is Dave Hollister, The Big Payback. You're listening to Live, the Billy Memphis Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton on Blog Talk Radio.
Hollywood won't be the same, cause some niggas that we owe got to get paid back.
I need to be you, my niggas, my niggas. When the fellas come through, my niggas, my niggas. It's long overdue, my niggas.
Oh,
payback's coming through, my niggas.
Oh, the big payback. And it's coming
to a hater, nigga.
Ooh, y'all gotta feel the only one. Promote me like you promised you wouldn't. Stop playing to make you hard to find. You're really too small to deal with this drama. Like too short for you to really see. It's hard to be more when you're new in my town. Had to sell it, you was messing up his story.
Hands up in the air, and wave,
waving from side to
That was Dave Hollison with a big payback. That's what we're talking about there. He got some powerful picks in there, though.
Hey, man. Yeah. I can't listen to that no more.
Why can't you listen to it?
I got Dave Hollister church CD in my car right now. You hurt me with that one.
Why did I hurt you with that one?
I'm just saying, first every off, other word is my I'm listening up and listening to going to church, man. Come on, man.
First off, this was the last CD before he did gospel. I will say this much, though. Dave Hollister is back doing R&B, ladies and gentlemen.
I understand.
I've been fortunate that I've heard about 6 cuts from his new album that's coming out this summer. It's called Chicago Winds, The Saga Continues. And when I tell you he's bringing some classic R&B back, I promise you, some classic R&B. So he was angry in that song. These artists, they get angry because they get screwed over by these record labels. And, you know, he was bending his anger. You know, you can't really be mad at that. He was bending his anger. So it's just... And I think that's probably one of the biggest things about it. See, now you have these artists who have been major artists for years and years, and they've, just like Charlie was saying, they've been through this major label BS for the longest, and now they're independent. And they're coming back, and they're doing pretty well. Genuine is one example. Genuine had a number 2 R&B hit, independent. You know, and so now he's back, and he's... So my question is, do they crowd up the market for the independent artists who haven't had the major deal? Are they crowding up the market and holding back these independent artists?
Well, you know, that was the thought process when you looked at Snoop Dogg. You know, I mean, that's the gripe that a lot of newer West Coast artists have with the major West Coast artists. You know, they're not giving them a lane to be able to present themselves out there to get their music heard. I mean, because you think about it, man, Snoop's been out, what, for 20 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you really haven't had that major guy to come out of the West Coast with the exception of The Game. But
this is true.
That's one reason why they looked at the South the way that they did at one time, and before the South got diluted. Man, the South was putting out artists every which way. You go from Texas to Tennessee to the Carolinas, man, you saw a new artist at all time. Now it's not like that anymore, so I really don't know.
Well, I think the thing about it, though, like with the West Coast in particular, the West Coast has always been very self-contained. Even from back in the day, you know, you have West Coast legends out there that people are like, who is that? Where they come from? I don't know them.
Right.
You know, so I think it's one of those situations where it's just like, okay, it works for them. Now they're trying to cross all boards, you know. But once again, I think it takes away just a little bit for the independent artists who haven't had that major deal before, that are just starting out, you know. And
right.
It does foul the market a little bit, in my opinion. But at the same time, you do want to continue to hear music from your favorite artists.
Yeah, but, you know, without that steady stream of, and, you know, I think we were spoiled in the mid-90s and in that little era right there where you had so many independent artists coming out at one time, where you just had a plethora of music, just a large amount of music come out, where you didn't have to choose from one type of music. You had a choice. You know, now,
right,
if you got one artist come out, everybody else that come out after him is the same mold, the same generic cat. So I don't know, you know, if it's cool and good for these majors to get a hold of independent artists the way that they do. I like to see cats stay independent and make a name for themselves. I love to see that.
Yeah.
Can't stop a cat.
Well, it's just
like that.
You know, and outside of the show, it's like, Kev, you told me this, and this is one thing, because, you know, I take advice from anybody who's willing to give it. And I remember a couple years ago, we were talking about my album, and you told me, you know, I'd rather see an artist go from A to B than try to come out right as B. And you were exactly right. I mean, that's something that rings true today. You get these artists and they try to bring them out, and it just doesn't work. Case in point, you know, and I'm not gonna go in on her.
Yeah.
I do think she's talented, and I do have a somewhat of a relationship with her. But Jermaine Dupri's artist, Dondria, his new artist, Dondria. Now, they tried to bring her out on like she was just on Z, like she was already up there, instead of letting her fan base, you know, grow with her and, you know, learn to love her. She was an artist that came from YouTube, so she already had a fan base established, but they didn't really, you know, try to connect with that audience. They tried to just bring her out, like, oh, she signed So So Def, and now she's this major star, and we're going to put her here and here. And they used a lot of Jermaine Dupri's influence to try to break her, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't work.
Well, there's many. I mean, just like you were sharing the story about Gucci Mane and his whole base audience. You know, when the majors got a hold of Gucci Mane and they tried to package him, market him a certain way, they didn't realize his base. They just threw this guy out there, and it stifled him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you go from you have Gucci Mane going and doing like his first song that people really recognize him for before Icy was when he remixed the Franchise Boys, White Tees. He did Black Tees.
Black Tees, yep.
And
right.
And that was his thing. Gucci, he had the clubs on lock. He had the streets on lock. And, you know, he pairs with Atlantic Records, and all of a sudden it's like you go from Black Tees and So Icy to doing a record with Mariah Carey
and Usher.
And Usher. And I mean, that's cool. Of course, you want to see your favorite artist, you know, progress. But at the same time, it's just like, wow, they're really at the expense of their music. And now he's like, I don't want to be with Warner Brothers anymore. And he's paired back up with Big Cat, and he's trying to get back to where he was.
Well, one of your favorite things that you always say, they don't care about independent artists. And the day is the executives that do have the decision-making power in music.
Right.
They really don't care about independent artists. If you're an independent artist out there and you would like to get in this conversation, you can press number one if you're on the phone line. If you're out there on the internet and you want to talk with us about this, it's just not us talking. We want you guys to interact with us. The number is 718-508-9972. If you're on Twitter, Al is over there on Twitter. We also have a web chat over here that you guys can get on and share some of your thoughts with us about this right here.
Sure. Well, now, this is my thing. What I'm always wondering about these artists is, what's going to be next after you've performed so much for the label and you've done everything they told you to do? And, in effect, I go back to what Charlie said. They don't really care about your career. They will prefer new artists. So they have you doing all this crazy stuff, and then they just kind of leave you out there. What's next? Because not everybody's strong enough to go independent. Not everybody is as hands-on as certain artists. They're not able. They've been in that system so long, they don't know how to connect with their fans on the intimate level. You know, what's next for them? Do they just keep taking the deals and keep getting screwed?
Yeah.
Or do they take the deals and on in?
Look at it like this too, man. Like, you have some artists that didn't have an independent grind. You know, they, you know, probably lucked up and got with an independent label that was actually doing well. And they lucked up and had a hit song, and next thing you know, they signed. But they really didn't have an independent grind. So, I mean, they really don't know what to do next after that if they got dropped. You know, the thing with them is, like, I'm back at square one again, I think. You know, we got another caller that want to comment as well. Let's try to bring this caller in.
Okay. Caller, you're now live with the Middle Memphis and Talk to Town with Nick Eaton.
Yo, what up?
What's going on?
Yeah, I was trying to discuss, like, independent artists, major labels. Like, a lot of independent artists just, like, don't have the mindset, you know what I'm saying, to market their own brand.
Right.
To, like, you know what I'm saying, to start their own company. So, and then it's, like, a lot of guys out there that's just rapping, that's just trying to get a check to get out the hood. So, I see, like, we as people that know music and, like, respect music and stuff, we always try to say, like, don't sign to a label. But some do, like, some guys really ain't looking for, like, legacy-type standards in the music industry, you know what I'm saying? Some people just trying to get a deal because they trying to get out the hood or trying to get the money to blow or whatever. And then some people don't even have, like, the talent to actually be productive, like, over a long period of time anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have, like, a good brand of music and your brand, you like really a good musician and a you're usually inclined person, then I would say, yeah, push your own brand. Don't ever sell your own brand to anybody. But as far as just a lot of rappers out there, I mean, everybody can't, you know what I'm saying, start their own label and, like,
well, this is the thing about it. And this is the thing about it. At the end of the day, though, you hear these horror stories about the music business. And I understand what you're saying. Some of them, you know, might not necessarily be thinking about long term. They might be thinking about, you know, just getting out of it. But the thing about it is, if you just go ahead and do whatever and sign whatever, you're not going to get off the hood. Don't get distracted by what you see on TV. At the end of those video shoots, the cars go back. The jewelry goes back. The clothes go back. They may take the draws, too. Yes, the draws. They'll take all that back because they own it. People don't realize that when they sign that contract, they own you. They own your likeness.
Right.
They own your voice. You can't even be on someone else's record without them clearing it.
Yes,
so you're not going to get out the hood unless you're smart enough to say, I'm going to make money at this and do this right.
Yeah. And a lot of people really don't know that. You know, when you sign a deal, it's just like you get in a credit card. It's a loan. You know, like when they spend all that money on you, you best believe they're going to do whatever they can to get all the money back. They're going to put you on TV shows. They're going to put you in shows where you don't want to perform. They're going to put you on the chitlin circuit or whatever they need to do to get that money back. And, you know, best believe we got artists out there right now who are poor, but on TV they look rich right now. Most definitely. Yeah. And, like, I'm totally, like, against, like, the signing with the labels. You know, I know all this, like, cricket or whatever. But I'm saying, like, what if you're an artist out there that just have a hit song but don't have, like, product? Like, you are not that good to actually, you know what I'm saying, make money for yourself. Like, this is a lucky hit song.
Well, then you build a team. You get people that have the experience or have the even if they don't have the experience, they can try to build the experience and learn. That's the importance of having people around that are looking out for you.
Right.
Say it again, Nick. Please repeat that.
That's the importance of building that team that is looking out for you, that have your best interests in mind.
Prime example, Nelly. Nelly had a team that was looking out for him. Once they realized that they all could make it, they focused their attention on him. And look what it led to. Each one of those guys are taken care of for the rest of their lives. Now, I would like to pose a question to you and the callers, everybody that's listening. What about these independent artists that are signed to independent labels that are local? Is that a help or a hurt?
I mean,
a lot of people, they're scared to talk about that because a lot of artists will sign paperwork with a company that doesn't even know that they're a company, can't even legitimize themselves. Can't
exactly.
even show you anything. What do you guys think about that?
I can tell you right now, I've never been a fan of that. And, you know, it may work for some people. I've seen it work for some people. But I've always had the mentality of, what can you do for me that I can't do for myself?
Exactly. Very
you know,
true.
If I have more know-how about how to do this certain thing within the business or make this happen, then what do I need you for?
Well, I'll say this much, man. I've seen many of people, a lot of the guys, they will sign to independent hometown labels. And I'm not talking about guys that have money. I'm talking about guys that are barely making it by. But they have the impression of everybody in that city. They can throw a couple of shows. I've seen it firsthand. And I'm not downing them because I appreciate that they have the fortitude to get out there and do it. But when you sign to somebody that can't even legitimize themselves, you sign the paperwork, you're really making a fool of yourself.
Well, you have to look at what you're signing for. What are you signing? Are you signing the deal because they have a studio and you get free studio time? Then you're being lazy. So, yeah, in that instance, you deserve to get screwed over because you're not taking, like, it's not, this business is not glamorous like everyone thinks it is. It takes a lot of hard work.
It's a job.
It's a lot of, it's a job. It's a lot of sleepless nights. It's some hungry nights. It's some nights where you just want to, you know, get up. If something just comes to you and falls in your lap, you're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to work hard for it. And if you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and sign this paperwork, because then, shoot, they got a studio or they got four people. Or they said, this is my favorite line, we got four major labels looking at us. Let me just tell that rumor right now. And look, y'all already know from all of y'all experience over the years, how many times have we heard that?
A million.
Man.
Let me tell you something right now. Major labels don't have time to look at you. Let me just tell that rumor right now.
Very true. You know what? The terminology that kills me is, you know, I'm a CEO and you're the only person on your label.
Right. You're the CEO and you have no executive board. You don't even have an LLC.
And I'm not, we're not degrading anybody. We're not degrading anybody that believe or misunderstand what they really need to be doing. The thing is to educate yourself. That's the number one thing.
I'm degrading. I'm degrading. I'm sorry. I'm degrading.
I got a question. Hello?
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are y'all talking about, like, people that call themselves labels that are not even registered or just, like,
exactly.
People who are LLC and everything like that?
Just the guys that are unregistered, they don't have the full LLC capability. They don't have anything, but they got a label, a business card. They ain't even got a business card. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
But I got a label. I got T-shirts.
They got Twitters.
I got posters. I got some posters.
You don't want to do business with someone who doesn't handle business the right way.
Yeah.
Right. You do not want to do, and you definitely don't want to sign paperwork with someone who doesn't have official paperwork. Like, that's it's a bad business move.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, nobody's going to blame the label except for the artist. They're not going to say, oh, such and such records, you know, messed up Nick Eden's project. They're going to say, Nick Eden fell off like wet dope.
Right. Now, we're going to bring in our friend, Charlie Braxton. I'm pretty sure he has something that he would like to enlighten us on. Charlie, you want to join in this conversation?
Yes. I think it's very crucial to for people to understand that even if you sign a deal, like the guy said, well, maybe they just don't have the smarts to do this and that, you're still going to work almost as hard, if not harder, as you would if you were independent. You're still going to do the Chitlin Circuit shows. You're still going to do the promo shows. You're still going to do the drops. You're still going to do the interviews. You're still going to be on the road for eons of time. The only difference between what the hard work that you do for the major and the hard work you do for yourself is the profit margin.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Listen, the way these majors work now, they'll sign an artist and then they'll tell the artist, we're not going to lift a finger till you get the record hot.
And Charlie, so people can understand that they need to respect your opinion, can you just give them a very, very brief, just a little details on what you've done and who you are, so people can understand that you ain't just talking?
Oh, my name is Charlie Braxton. I've been a journalist, a hip-hop journalist, for over 20 years. I have worked with a number of artists, most notably David Banner, currently Donnie Cross. I am the CEO of Ambassadors Way Entertainment, which Donnie Cross is our flagship act. I've also worked with Pure Pain Records. I have a number of platinum plaques, gold plaques in my house. Alan can testify to that. I've been in the music business for a minute, and I studied this at Jackson State University. They had a... degree program in music industry recording.
Jackson State.
Yeah, they got rid of it though. They're trying to bring it back. It's kind of interesting that when you talk to a lot of young artists, and when you really say, okay, well, they'll tell you, I just want a record deal. But they can't tell you what type of record deal they want. They can't tell you how they're going to go about getting it. You have to understand, very few people get signed in this day and age by some A&R sitting at his desk rummaging through demo tapes. It doesn't happen. Even if an A&R happens to cross your record and really likes it, the first thing he or she is going to do is they're going to run your sound scan and your BDS. And if you don't have significant numbers, if they can't call DJs in your market, hey, yeah, this guy's on shows. Yeah, this guy. at doing this. If nobody, if you don't have a buzz, they don't want you, because record companies cannot take an artist that does not have a buzz and create a buzz for them. They don't know how to do that. They haven't done that in years. They don't know how to develop an artist. A&R at major labels now is a capital joke. So if you're listening to an A&R and he's telling you something to do something with your record, you probably would be better off doing what you were doing prior to you got there.
Exactly, exactly. And I totally agree. Because like, at the end of the day, what they're going to do is they're going to turn you into a robot. And we're going to take our last break.
But
hey,
I wanted to
you can go ahead and skip that last break, man. We can just continue this on. We got 9 minutes.
Okay, cool. Let's run it.
You mentioned Gucci, man. I want to tell you, Gucci had his career when he signed with Warner Brothers. He killed his career because Warner Brothers did not understand that Gucci Man was a street artist. He was really an artist that should have been at best on Asylum, where he could have remained in and did what he did, and they could have collected the money. But when they took him, and it's sometimes when you sign with a major label, you got to understand what the label's intention are. Sometimes a major label will sign an independent act just to slow down their momentum.
Very true.
That's true.
Hey, matter of fact, speaking of that, man, I can't speak of the artist's name, but there's someone that someone else. I'm just use those words right there. But there's a particular artist out right now that, because of the guy that was on the same label. This guy was actually better than this guy, but they put so much of a break and stall on his project that it's on the shelf, but the guy that they putting out and pushing, you know, they're getting all the advertising, all the publicity, everything. But like you're right, Charlie, a lot of labels will do that just to put their money into what they
think will
make money.
I'm told that to put a name out there for you and show you what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. You mentioned earlier about Nelly having such a great team.
Right.
Do you remember an artist by the name of Pretty Willie?
Yeah, they killed Pretty Willie. They signed him and put his butt on the shelf.
He was
signed.
You wonder who his management was. Because there's no way I would have signed to Universal, the label that Nelly was on. We had the same style. We're from the same hometown. He killed us. And I remember when that album came out, I told him, I actually like Pretty Willie's music better than I like Nelly. And I love Nelly's music. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But his record was just as good and had momentum in St. Louis.
Yeah.
That record was number one in St. Louis. It was doing well in Jackson.
Actually, it was doing well in the whole Southeast region.
And the whole Southeast. You can't let this artist grow. So what I do is I come along, I offer them some money. He signs with us. And the ball gets dropped. But Nelly comes.
If you also know, it was a similar situation with Chingy. It was a similar situation with Chingy,
and when he just kind of went
under the radar and signed with Luda, you remember that was a big issue with Nelly. Nelly had a big issue with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chingy blew up.
Yes,
I mean, he blew hard.
But see, that's one thing that we were talking about earlier with the South. We had so much of a diversity of artists that you didn't have the same prototype waiting in the wings to come out right after you. There were a time when everybody was individuals. You know, once they came out where they sounded, developed it, they, you know, cultivated their whole areas and they spread from there. Because A-Ball and MJG, there's nothing else like it in the South. There's nothing else like Scarface. There's nothing else like, let me think of some independents, Dirty. There's nothing, I mean, you know, a lot of these guys made it happen independently.
And here's another thing. You speak of Dirty. I remember one of the most memorable trips to Atlanta was a press junket that was taking place with Universal. And Universal had signed Co-Ed, they signed Camouflage, they signed Pastor Troy, there's somebody I'm missing, Backbone. And they were releasing another Miracle record.
Oh, God.
Okay, and they were releasing them all simultaneously at the same time Cash Money's Lil Wayne had records out. Now, the question became, why would they sign all these guys and drop them all at the same time?
True.
Well, you look at it. I've got these albums and they're selling because artists don't understand. If you're an independent, you're still, you're not just competing with your homies in the hood or your independents in your area. You're competing also with the major labels at the same time. And if you're at a point where you're out selling major labels in your market,
yeah,
and the major label has to do something to slow that momentum down. And
very
the best thing to do is, what's the old saying? If you the best way to keep your enemies is what? They keep an eye on your enemies is to keep them close.
Keep them close and then go ahead and shut them down. You think about that's the same thing they did with the whole movement of the second wave of Texas artists, which a lot of people think they're the first wave. But the second wave of the Texas artists, DSR and all those other guys, remember when they was making, you know, Slim Thug and whatever his name, Mike Jones. All those guys was making all this money. And they just came in, bought them all out, and then, you know, so they was making enough money, they bought them all out. Look at them now.
Yeah. And then that whole market died as a result of that.
Surely did. You ain't heard nothing else after that.
But see, that to me, the charm of Texas market was it was independent. I mean, a perfect example, I give you a perfect, sometimes some things left well enough alone. Screw music. Why is screw music coming, and I hate to say this, but we can blame a particular artist for bringing it to the forefront. Once screw music made it to the mainstream and music industry got a hold of it and realized how much money they were making off of it, they began to chop and screw everything.
Yeah, I heard a Chopped and Screwed McDonald's commercial one time.
They had Chopped and Screwed.
Yeah.
Corn,
you ain't going somewhere with that.
Man, I'm dead serious.
Chopping and Screwing records. And then what happened was the record industry started flooding the market with this Chopped and Screwed, and people just lost their fascination with it. Even diehard screwheads started to say, that's not the same. And it killed screw. It killed screw music for a while. Now, only real diehard screw heads are still looking for screw. But I remember when I went to Texas, everybody was listening to screw prior to in 96, 97. I mean, 2000. Everybody was listening to screw. Everybody in Texas. You knew you were in Texas when you heard screw music blaring out of cars. You don't hear that anymore. And you can blame that on the majors.
Very true. Hey, everyone that's on the phone line, I know we said the show was going to stop at 8 o'clock. The phone lines are going to stay open. We're going to go ahead, and the internet, that's going to still be on also. This conversation is still open. We want you guys to call in. 718-508-9972. We're going to extend this show for another 30 minutes. If y'all want to talk about it, we're here. We can go another 15 minutes. We can go another whole 30 minutes if you guys will choose to. I'm enjoying this conversation. So let's keep it going. We're still here. We're live right now. Sorry about that, y'all.
Oh, no problem. But, I mean, this is an invigorating conversation because I think we need to understand that the music business is a business. It is business first and not not a show. It's not a party. It's a business. It's like Russ was saying, you look on these videos, and when these videos are over, those clothes, that jewelry goes back to whoever gets it. And if you just happen to take some of it, believe me, you're going to see it pop up on a statement called a recoupment statement. Every artist needs to understand that. Alan said that, you know, when you get this money, it's really a loan. If you think of a record, and I've said this before, you think of a record deal as a loan at 40% interest, you have an understanding pretty much of what you're up against. But a lot of artists don't have that understanding.
Now, Charlie, I hope that everyone has a pencil, a piece of paper somewhere taking notes. The key word he just said was a recruitment statement. You got to understand what that is. Charlie,
And what's the young man that call us 601-915? What's your name, my man? You still on the line? What's your name?
Yeah, that's J Dub, man. That's J
Dub.
Yeah,
J Dub. I mean, you're an independent artist, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you've been out there on the streets and you hustling, you trying to get your stuff together, man. From what I understand, what are your thoughts about how the streets are out here, as far as the artists that's out here trying to put music out? What do you think about this?
I think most of my competition, like artists on my level, age level, 22 through 27, I think they all looking for deals. Like, I don't think people feel like we see it, you know what I'm saying? I feel blessed to be young and actually see it this way. But I think most people who rap and people I'm competing with, I think they for deals. I don't really think they understand, like, the industry. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm one that's sitting here, like, listening to y'all, and I'm, like, actually getting upset by, like, how people do, like, and, like, we look at, like, the artist, like, to blame, but most of us don't even know, so what can we actually do? I mean, can we do anything about it, though?
Well, you know what? There are certain opportunities, but you got to invest in yourself to get to them. Now, not all, and I'll be the first one to tell you, we've had music conferences before. We've done them ourselves. But you need to get around someone. I mean, you have a lot of wealth of knowledge in your area, your city. You got to find out the guys that actually, like Nick was saying, get around people that make a move, man. You know who's making moves. Now, I ain't talking about the rapper that make it look flashy. I'm talking about somebody with knowledge. If you can find somebody that can teach you something. Matter of fact, there's a book that I recommend to everyone on this phone line. Charlie, you know I'm a staunch believer of this book. And it's by a man, Kashif.
Everything
you need to know about the music industry. If you never read that book right there, you slipping.
That's the title of it?
Everything you need to know about the music industry.
Everything you better know about the music industry. Better know about the music industry.
And his name is, if I'm not mistaken, it's spelled K-A-S-H-I-F.
No, H-I-E-F.
Wasn't that it, Charlie?
K-A-S-H-E-I-F, I believe, or I-E-F, one of the two.
Yeah. But his name is Kashif. If you haven't read that book, get it, man. And, I mean, we're not blaming the artists, but at the same time, man, guess what? If you're doing it, and like Nick said, this is a business. Charlie said, this is a business. If anybody with common sense, they will tell you this is a business. I know it's a hobby for a lot of people that's not making money off of it. But this is a business once you really get into it, man. And you're not going to start a business tomorrow and not have the understanding of what needs to be done when you started that business.
Exactly. Look at it like this, Kev. Look at it like this. I don't think anybody on this phone would want to go to a doctor's office because they have an ailment, and you have a guy that comes in and says, I want to operate on you. I'm not a real doctor, but I got a passion for it.
That's so true.
I mean, but if you look at it like that, it's the same premise. Why would you get into a business that you do not know anything about? And it's not like it was in the 50s and the 60s. The information is there for us now. It's readily available.
Yeah,
and you just have to pick up a book and read. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, bro.
You just got to pick up a book. Go ahead. That's another thing about the music industry. A lot of people like degrade it like it's not a business, but we're really like our own business, and our brand is our music. Like, we have our own product that we're selling. You know what I'm saying? So we make no mistake about it. You are a salesperson with a product. And you have to get out in the marketplace and tell everybody why your product is the best and why they should buy your product over the next one.
Yeah.
It's a sales job.
Very true.
It's a sales job.
Yeah. But I mean, have you been as successful as you wanted to be? What are some of the things that you feel like you're lacking that's, you know, stopping you from getting to the next level as an independent artist?
I think as of now, like, I'm lacking a lot of focus, which I know is key. And just like while I'm in school, like time management is like kind of killing me.
So you think your time?
My advice to you would be to do a little bit a day. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, I gotta get this done. When you write it down first. When you write it down and you split it up, you realize that you really don't have as much to do as you think you do.
Write it down. Do a little bit a day. Write down what you did that day. Do a little bit more tomorrow. Write down what you do tomorrow. And just keep it going. And the more and more you go, the more progress you're going to make. Yeah.
And Nick said something that you know, a lot of people don't really take into consideration. You know, it's okay to take advice from people as long as you know it's sound. Now, you can take the good in and shoot out the rest. It doesn't matter. But as long as you're willing to listen and grow, because sometimes in the midst of a stupid comment, you might hear a brilliant thought. If you caught that.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Oh, I caught it. You know. But, Charlie.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that, you know, we're still talking about independent versus majors. The word is out, and I don't know if I'm really supposed to be speaking on it, and y'all know about the consolidations. What do you guys think about it if y'all want to speak about it? If not, we can keep it moving. Of the labels.
What do I think about the label?
The consolidation.
Oh,
I don't know if y'all want to talk about that right now, if y'all want, you know.
For artists, it's not a good thing because it limits your choices. I mean, like, some guys who are very savvy. For instance, if you got, a bidding war, if you got more than one label looking at you, then you're able to barter and trade and negotiate on what you can get because you can say, well, look, the offer that you're giving me is not quite as good as the offer that, say, EMI is giving me. So I appreciate the Universal, but EMI is giving me a better deal. And a lot of times, Universal doesn't want to be, you know, talked by EMI. So they'll say, what kind of deal are they giving you? To give you a better one. But if only two labels, then there's not too many places to go. And I mean, right now, it's like the big four? Soon it'll be the big, it's called the big three. Soon it'll be the big two. And that's not going to give you that many choices because all those labels have to do is say, okay, if you're interested in it, we don't want it. Stop that one label. But this consolidation is not good for you as an artist in terms of your being able to negotiate the best label, but it's also not good for the music because now there are not that many avenue streams for music to come out on a major level. And these labels, the smaller they get, the more business-oriented they become. You know,
very true.
I tell people all the time, if Aretha Franklin, let's say Aretha Franklin didn't exist 30, 40, 50 years ago, or 40 years ago, we don't make it that old, and she walked in with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, looking the way she looks now, do you think she'd get a record deal?
No, sir. Even though she can sing her heart off, look what they did to, what's her name, Jennifer Hudson. Look what they made her do.
They made her lose weight. They made her lose weight. After she lost all of that weight, has anything really popped off for her yet?
But, I mean, you guys spoke upon it earlier, you know, and a lot of people don't know. Once you do sign with these major labels, they do control every aspect of who you are as an artist. That goes from your hair, your image, how they want to portray you. How are you going to be portrayed? If you come out a certain way, I mean, I've heard stories of artists saying that they want to do a song a certain way, and the labels execs be like, oh, no, that might not fit your image. They might want to talk about something. And you think about this. Why did Young Jeezy say on My President is Black, the realest verse I never wrote? Think about that. Why would he even stress that? A lot of people are like, well, he didn't write it. It was not... You know, say it was not on his image. You know, it was not of his image. So they made him put that out there. Because I mean, that man might have wrote that song, but they made him do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
you know,
and the thing is, once you sign to him, and you tell them like Lupe Fiasco, and this happens to artists sometimes. It can happen to you. You can sign with a major label, and the major label may say, you know what? Disco is in, and we want you to do a disco rap. And you tell them, no, I don't want to do a disco rap.
disco rap.
Okay, you don't have to. I tell you what, we're not going to put your record out. Or better yet, we're going to suspend your contract. Now, suspending the contract is an old trick because it's one of those tricks that's used to starve the artist into doing what the record company wants. Because when I suspend your contract, what it says is, at this point, we're freezing everything on the contract, which means we don't have to make a move. You can't make a move. You can't record. You can't do anything with anybody else. And more importantly, I don't have to pay you any royalties. I don't have to advance you any stipend. I don't have to give you any advances on your recording budget. Nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit there and, for years. And when I unfreeze that contract, guess what? Unsuspend that contract. If you had an 8-year contract with me and I froze it on the first year, you still owe me 7 years.
True that. I wanted to ask J-Dub, but I see he got himself out of the queue. But I wanted to ask him, after everything that he's heard tonight, would he still want to go get that major label deal? If you're an artist
he's
out there,
now, man.
I see him, but I'm going to let him, you know, if he want to get say answer that question, J-Dub, press that number one. Oh, he did. Hold on. J-Dub?
Yo, what up? You can't
remember? Yeah, we got you back in, man. Would you want to go after everything that you heard tonight? Would you want to go after a major deal, or would you prefer to stay independent? What would you do?
I mean, I never would have wanted to go after a major deal anyway, because the only thing that a major deal can do that I can do with my own product is market me to more, you know, saying like to more people than I can do myself, because
broader audience.
Really, you know? Yeah. But that's the only thing they can do for me. And maybe, yeah, like y'all said, alone. But if I still, if I hit the street, if I get my my fan base up, and I hit the street, and I sell 5,000 copies, that's $50,000 to me, like, a year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about managing your money and fans, really. That's all a major label gonna do. Give you money. And give you a lot of, open you up to a lot of, put you on shows, put you on TV. How they gonna do?
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of people really forget about the aspect of the internet, man. I mean, you still, man, when the internet came into play, it leveled the playing field. I mean, you guys can sell records to Australia, Germany, and Europe, and, you know, just anywhere in the world now if you're up on your game.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Let me say this much. I'm going to say this much because we're getting ready to go ahead and end it. Barry Gordy was asked a couple of years back, what if the internet were around in his heyday of Motown? He said he would have never sold Motown to MCA.
Hmm.
Think about that. Realize that Motown operated as an independent label up until 1988. That means all these classic artists like the Supremes, like the Temptations, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, they were all independent artists. Think about if Donny Hathaway would have had the internet.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. That boy would have blew major.
Exactly.
I don't know if a lot of people realize this or not, but Donny Hathaway was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenic. But the one thing he said that kind of stuck with me was he told his people, he was like, I feel like white people are in my head and they're stealing my music from me. And they just kind of dismissed it as him being crazy. But it's not as crazy as you think. It's not as crazy as you think. I want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight. I want to thank everybody on the web chat, everybody on Twitter, Facebook. Make sure that you follow us on blogtalkradio.com/middleman. Like the page on Facebook. This Sunday, we'll be coming live at 6 p.m. And we just thank everybody. I think, we can go ahead and check us on out with that outro fight.
Yes, sir. Hey, matter of fact, this weekend, we are talking about back in the day. We're reminiscing. We're talking about things that these kids nowadays will never ever experience that we experience now. So if you got some stuff that you remember from back in the day, tune in to the Middleman Talk Show this Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Make sure you guys do that, okay? And we do appreciate every last one of you. Play the piano, boy. Play it.
The middleman shouted, beat Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute, shout it and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, here, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Hey, man, if I hear one more cat talking about, yeah, man, my label, we sold 500 copies. Man, we hot. You know what? I'm going to have a problem.
I won't discourage them, but I'll tell them to take account of what they got. Look at their books and equate it to a regular business, because at the end of the day, it's still a business. Because I hear one more cat saying, I got four major labels looking at me, I'm going to choke shit out of them. Pardon my French.
Man, we sold 2,000 copies
of CD. My song is on one radio station.
Ooh, don't you hate that? One radio station, I got the rotation on. Man, I got the radio hot.
I'm on rotation all day. Okay.
It's on the local show.
One internet radio show.
Yeah.
Hey,
wow.
Man, if y'all out there grinding right now, keep grinding, keep pushing, keep your head up. Make good music, make quality music. And make sure everybody understand you. Because if I hear one more rapper get on the song, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm getting tired of this.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, man. And then that Roscoe Dash stuff. I don't understand that. Shoot yourself. Stab yourself. All that.
I'm out.
So, man, you can say what you need to say.
Yeah. I'm out.
I'm out.
See you Sunday.